Welcome to the NBA Impact Podcast. It's your host, Graydon McMullen. This is our first podcast. So today we're going to be talking about NBA offseason moves along with good remaining free agents. Okay, let's get into it. First guy we're going to talk about is Jabari Parker. On Saturday, signed a two-year, $40 million contract. The second year has a team option. So what does this mean for the Bulls salary cap? Well, let's get into it. So with signing Parker, the Bulls are about $600,000 or so short of the breaking the soft cap, meaning they are right under the soft cap, which is good for them. Looks like their roster is about rounded out. Jabari Parker takes up 15.83% of the cap space. So let's talk about what he's actually going to bring to your group. Well, what's he going to bring? So far, in a small sample size, just simply based on like the games he's played since he's been injured for quite a bit of his career. So let's talk about his 16-17 season. He played 51 games and started 50 of them. He averaged 33.9 minutes, shot 49% from the field goal, shot 36% from the three with 3.5 attempts, and averaged 21.1 points. So what's he going to do? He's going to score for you. He's going to score for you pretty efficiently on the field, not very efficiently on the three. His free throw percentage isn't bad, 0.74, shooting 4.3%. If this is really the, if we're looking for a season like this, maybe he's worth that money. Maybe he isn't. But they didn't necessarily give him the money based on what he is now. They gave on what he could be. And with that extra flexibility of a team option, they don't like what he's doing, and they can just let him go. I think it's a great idea. Possible guys they could have signed. They could have tried to go for Clint Capella, but like Jabari, he's also restricted, and the Rockets were probably going to match any offer they were going to throw at him, so there wasn't a point. They didn't really need any more guards. They already just signed Zach LaVine to that massive $19.5 million contract, and they already have an emerging guard in Chris Dunn. So there's really no free agents on the table that would have made sense for them. Okay, moving on. Let's talk about Shabazz Napier. Shabazz Napier signs with Brooklyn on a two-year deal, the second year being a player team option. This adds a lot of depth on Brooklyn for their guards. After losing Jeremy Lin, which we'll talk about later, they could very well need it. Ahead of him, on the point guard position, he will have Spencer Dinwiddie and D'Angelo Russell. So it's going to be wondering how many minutes is he going to get behind those two. D'Angelo Russell played very well last year, averaging around 15 points. Spencer Dinwiddie was one of the most improved players last year as one of the finalists. So there's a lot of guard depth, and I think that's really going to make Brooklyn very deep on the guard side. Also, other guards you have are Caris LeVert and Alan Crabb. So it's you're having a pretty decent backcourt. So it's looking pretty good on that front. Isaiah Thomas signed a $2 million minimum. Pretty sad considering at one point he was maybe a max contract. and he signed with the Nuggets, and I think he'll be a great backup. Adds a lot of depth. Massive scoring punch. Another pretty under-the-radar candidate that signed was Dante Cunningham. Signed a one-year deal with the Spurs on Monday. Its details are not released yet, so it's all we know. It's just a one-year, most likely on the veterans minimum. So trades that have happened. Last week, Atlanta and Brooklyn traded. Atlanta received Jeremy Lin, a 2025 second-round pick, and the right to swap a second-round pick in 2023 with Brooklyn. Brooklyn received a 2020 second-round pick and rights to Isaiah Cordonet, who is playing overseas. Another trade also involving Brooklyn. Nuggets and Brooklyn traded. Brooklyn received Kenneth Faried, Daryl Arthur, a 2019 protected first-round pick, and a 2020 second-round pick. Nuggets received Isaiah Whitehead, who they waived. So what does this add to Brooklyn? Well, it's going to add a guy in Kenneth Faried, who plays a lot of hustle, a lot of energy. He's going to try to get every rebound he can. He's overall just a very solid player you want on your roster. When we're talking about Daryl Arthur, he's not going to bring much. He's a little washed up. His career averages are about 6.5 points and about around 3 rebounds. So Kenneth Faried, his career averages are 11.4 points and 8.2 rebounds. So they're looking pretty decent. Last year, he fell out of the rotation and only played 32 games with the Nuggets and only started 7. So I think this will be a good switch up for him. I think that Brooklyn will develop a pretty decent front court with Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Kenneth Faried, and Jared Allen starting at center. Okay, now let's move on to the remaining free agents still left in the market. Although it is dwindling, there's still a handful of players that were in CBS Sports' top 50 free agents. The number 6 on that list, Clint Capella. Number 11 on that list, Marcus Smart. 31, Montrezl Harrell. 34, Greg Monroe. 41, Dwayne Wade. So basically the news on Clint is that the Rockets are most likely going to match any offers thrown his way, and it's not like he's getting any offers coming his way as well. It's definitely not been a great market, but it's just how it is. Marcus Smart, I guess your concern with the Marcus Smart is, are the Celtics willing to pay him? Celtics aren't really worried about dealing with him because nobody's offering anything to him, and since he's restricted, he's basically at whim to whatever the Celtics want to do with him. So they're kind of just waiting it out. No offers are really piling in. So Marcus Smart will probably go back to Boston. Montrezl Harrell's been pretty quiet. Greg Monroe has been quiet. There's also questions if Dwayne Wade will even return to the NBA next season. So that's always to consider. And, well, that's it for this first episode. Thank you.